Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson with the title, Walking Through Our Wreckage. But we start out with a verse from the Old Testament lesson. Let him put his mouth in the dust, if so there may be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. Our wreckage. Yeah. Who caused it? We did. We did individually. We did as a group. We did as the entire human species. From beginning to end, we are causing our own wreckage. It begins with the inner sin that separates from God and then piles on the many sins that bring more problems in life, adding up to a grand mess. And that's what we're in. And along comes Jesus. Book of Lamentations. The setting is Jeremiah looking at the ruins of Jerusalem after the Babylonians have burned everything and torn everything down, and almost all the population has been hauled off into captivity, and he sits there and laments. We know about lamentation. We know about mouth in the dust sorrow. And it reappears in the gospel lesson. Jairus comes to Jesus, falling down before him. Lord, help. My daughter's about to die. We know about tragedy. We have funerals, and we will have funerals, and even today down in Florida, they continue to search through the wreckage trying to find some survivor. Human suffering is all over the place. And yet, Book of Lamentations, in the center of the book, at the center of the center chapter, great is thy faithfulness. That's verse 23. On to, let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, let him be filled with insults. Jesus comes into our lamentation. To be stricken, to be filled with insults. And so in the gospel lesson, Jesus goes along with Jairus, gets to the house and finds mourners and wailers. And mourners and wailers in that part of the world, you could hear them for a mile or more away. It's cultural. And along comes Jesus. And that right there is a brief summary of Christianity. Jesus coming into our trouble and walking with us through the wreckage. And at the end of everything in the gospel lesson, he says, Talitha kumi, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl rose up and began to walk. She was 12 years old. Along as you ask the theologians and the professors the question, was she dead? Actually, there are a lot of scholars and professors today who would say no. She was just in a coma or something, and then they would try to explain things in natural term, sort of downgrading the miracle. The older commentaries simply accept the text that says, knowing that she had died, and then they struggle to make sense of what Jesus said. What did he mean? Well, he gets to have a different perspective, doesn't he? Because he is God and he sees things from a whole different angle. But he arrives at the house and tells them that she's sleeping, and they begin to laugh at her, laugh at him, knowing that she was dead. They laughed him to scorn, says another one of the Gospels. And then at the end, and her spirit returned. The disciples and her parents and the whole world around, including us, sees everything one way. They know and we know what death looks like. Jesus gets to see it differently. Not simply because he has a different knowledge, but because he is building everything new and different. And he is building everything new, built on his cross and his empty tomb. Irresistibly, Jesus comes along. He moves through the world even today. He moves through the wreckage that the human race has made. He moves through the wreckage of individual lives. And he is rebuilding. As the voice from the throne in Revelation 21 says, I am making everything new. He is rewriting our existence. As Paul says, he will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue all things to himself. He is taking eternity and writing it into our souls through the word that he gives. He is washing us with eternity, the eternity that is held within the name of God, and feeding us with the eternity that is there in his risen body and blood. And he is unstoppable. He is building his kingdom. And it is a very healthy thing for us to know that this is going on and that it is much huger than anything we see around us. So that when we turn away to other hopes, we are reminded that something bigger than anything we can build is there in Jesus. And when hopes come crashing down around, that we know that there is something bigger than anything that can challenge us. And it is all there in Jesus. It is held within him. The miracle in the gospel lesson, the raising of the little girl, it's paid for at a cost. This is not just something in isolation, a thing that just happens. It has to be built on something, paid for by something. And that something is Jesus Christ himself. That's why in all of these situations, he is the one very obviously in charge. So that at the end of the gospel, he can give them strict orders not to let anyone know about this. and then down to the tiny little details, telling them to give her something to eat. See, there the attentiveness of Jesus, not just to the big things, but to every little need. So he is not this miracle worker that comes breezing through, doing miracles and off in another direction. He is there to walk with us through the wreckage, to be there through the whole thing as he is building everything new. The resurrection doesn't come free. There's a cost. The cost is measured out in the suffering and the cross and the death and the resurrection of the Son of God himself. As Lutherans, we learn that this is how we read our Old Testament. So, for example, in Lamentations 3, we wait for the salvation of the Lord, and the word salvation is built on the very name of Jesus. He is the one who bore the yoke in his youth, sitting alone, off to times of prayer, 40 days out in the wilderness fasting. He is the one who, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he is the one who did the mouth in the dust, falling to the ground and praying to his Father. He is the one who gave his cheek to the one who strikes, the one who was filled with insults, because he is the one who came to walk with us through all of this. And toward the end of the Old Testament lesson, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his, well, it's translated steadfast love. It would be better, according to the abundance of his covenant mercies, mercies that are paid for through the work of God himself, so that all of these things where God walks with us and holds us in his hands, sustains us in the troubles, raises us back up, finally to that day when he raises us back up. It is all the covenant in Jesus Christ. It is the promises that are there in him. It is the living word of God who has come to be with us and to make that word of God and those promises of God, to make those eternal and our everlasting reality. There's where our hope is. In Jesus' name, amen.